The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What is for you being the MVP?
It's an accomplishment that show me that I'm doing a good job. I'd rather, again, win a championship than win an MVP.
With a great feet in sight. Booker, got it.
This is very reminiscent of his childhood idol, Kobe Bryant.
The Phoenix Sun have buzzsawed the terrific Nuggets twice.
One team that wanted to be here and one team that did not want to be here, and that's why we got our ass kicked.
Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen Jacoby. What exactly is it
Boss
that we
up.
Do?
We hit a people!
Yes!
Yes! What? They won!
We will get you ready for the Bucks-Nets Game 3. We have some information about the Packers starting quarterback situation, but we start in Phoenix last night, where it was game two between the Nuggets and the Suns were shining bright. It wasn't just CP3, it was Book, it was Ayton, it was Bridges, it was a dominant performance. However, Mr. Rose, these two games have been all about the point guard, Chris Paul.
Everybody's got a little light under the sun, under the sun. That's what you just described, right? Didn't you see a team that had, what, seven or eight people in double figures?
Yep.
Did you see the point guard have his third playoff game with 15 assists and zero turnovers? That's the most in the history of the NBA playoffs.
Zero turnovers.
And I got to say something for a lot of fans and media members. That does not mean that he was the MVP of the regular season. It means that he's a terrific leader that's leading his team in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. This is a different season. And this game was all about him. This is the Chris Paul game. Okay, his fingerprints were all on. You see Ayton down low,
yep,
basically playing the Joker to a standstill stats-wise. You see Miguel Bridges shining on the big stage, running the floor in transition, getting and-one dunks.
Mm-hmm.
Devin Booker playing within himself, not having the four shots. Devin Booker, elite scorer. You know what he gets a chance to do? Catch and shoot the basketball.
First time in his career.
How about that? Gets to catch and shoot the ball. Somebody's creating shots for him. Kawhi and Paul George looking at him like, man, must be nice.
Must be nice, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, again, Chris Paul has done a terrific job of stamping his signature. And the guard play of the Phoenix Suns is so very outstanding, it's just crushing the Denver Nuggets.
And what I love about what Chris Paul does for this team is they don't need like a Donovan Mitchell 45 points from Book.
No.
They don't need these huge games like some of these other teams need from their star players like the Mavs. They've got Chris Paul there who, as you mentioned, distributes to everybody, gets everybody double figures. However, Nikola Jokic, newly minted as the MVP. You know, you said that him and Ayton are playing each other to a standstill. I don't know if I would say that. However, he needs some help. He needs some help out there, and he's not getting it in this series. And Mike Malone is not happy about that. And here is what Coach Mike Malone had to say after the game.
Well, so obviously Chris Paul doesn't see us. He doesn't feel us. And we're not impacting what he's trying to do in any way, shape, or form, Ashley. And I think you could say that pretty much for the Phoenix Suns roster. They've had their way with us on both ends of the court. I felt we quit tonight, which is something you never want to see. So I guess for game three, I'm just going to try to find guys that will at least go out there and leave it all on the line.
I like what he did there.
What did he do?
The coach is acknowledging that my guy, the Joker, just won MVP. And he basically scored just as much as the other four starters.
Mm.
That's unacceptable. So he know I ain't talking to him. He know I'm talking to everybody else. And if that comment had a name attached to it, if I had to put a label on it, it would be Michael Porter Jr.
Really?
Because I was watching the game extremely close. And a lot of those high pick and rolls with Bridges and Chris Paul, You know that why there were confusion? You know why there was confusion?
Why's that?
Because Michael Porter Jr. didn't want to get stuck on Chris Paul. He was getting picked on defensively. And you know, if anybody knows about somebody being picked on defensively, I know. Okay? I know. And the thing is, when I say Aiden played him to a standstill, if you recall, Aiden got two fouls.
Early, just like I wanted him to.
Right?
Just like I wanted him to. That's what I said. The Jokic needs to get him in foul trouble. Didn't do it in game one, did it game two.
However, when he came back into the game, he played foul-free basketball. That's the standstill I'm talking about. You want the Joker to then take advantage of that and use that aggression to attack him and either get him in foul trouble even further or take those layups and dunks. It was great to see Will Barton return. The Nuggets will play with a sense of effort and a sense of urgency when they return home. Monte Morris is going to play better. Where's Capazzo? Where's your man? That's your man.
That's my man.
Your man.
Once upon a time, Capazzo was my man. However, just, you know, I'm a Daisy
fan. It was all good just a week ago.
I think it was 1-for-7 in this one. First of all, let me just say, my man's defense. He had Dame in the first series and then Chris Paul in the second series. Not exactly a defensive stopper, Capazzo. However, he needs to play better. As you mentioned, Morris needs to play better. And Michael Porter Jr., I guess he's got back issues. That's the only thing that makes sense because he performs so much better. When you look at his numbers after Murray got hurt, when you look at his numbers in that section, when Murray was hurt until this series, he was performing great. And then this series, he is not. It has to be an injury.
But also, too, he's fallen a little bit into the young player syndrome, which is when I'm making shots, then I'm engaged with the rest of my skills in my game. Mm-hmm. When I'm not making shots, then I'm kind of just out there. I believe Michael Porter Jr. has a big game three.
We will see. We have a game three in the Eastern Conference as well. The Brooklyn Nets going to Milwaukee to take on the Bucks. However, Mr. Rose, the best show in basketball in the playoffs are the big three for the Nets. James Harden and Jeff Green are progressing well. They're going to be out in this one. However, it doesn't matter when you have KD playing like he is and Kyrie playing like he is and the supporting players of the Nets playing like they are. What do the Bucks need to get back in this series?
So during the regular season and even in the playoffs, you're going to hear so much talk about role players.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so. Basketball is a team game. But you know what allows them to fall into those roles? When you have your stars and your superstars performing as such. See, the team gets built around the strengths and weaknesses of the best player, not the other way around.
Yep.
And for the Milwaukee Bucks, they need Giannis to shoot the ball with confidence outside of the paint. He's not only struggling from three, he's struggling from mid-range. He's even struggling from the free throw line. So what happens when you're a dominant force like Giannis and you can't make free throws? You're not driving as much because you don't want to get fouled.
You're not driving as much and you're not hitting jumpers. And what are you doing? When you look at the production of the net, the Bucks, we'll call them a big three, I guess. Look at the difference in production.
Well, and y'all hear that, Bucks? Big three, I guess. Y'all deserve that. When James Harden go out in the first minute, it's one thing to lose game one, but to get waxed like they did in game two and they was trailing by 49, that's unacceptable.
You remember Chris Middleton this season?
That was unacceptable.
Chris Middleton in the bubble? Where's that Chris Middleton?
Yes.
Where is that Chris Middleton?
I saw a play, and shout to Kyrie Irving, who's competing defensively and playing with pace. But Chris Middleton is 6'7".
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't do a post-up and get a shot blocked by Kyrie Irving.
Good point.
That shouldn't happen.
That's a good point.
Okay, and so I need to see Middleton. I need to see Jrue Holiday respond. But you know what happens? Players tend to play better on their home floor in front of their home fans.
They do.
And I anticipate the Bucks doing that in game three.
Well, I just want to give a big shout out to a gentleman, Blake Griffin. Now he doesn't score 20 points. He doesn't fill the stat sheet.
They need
However,
him.
One thing he does do, which I did not expect, he's playing D. Like, he's got Giannis a lot of time, moving his feet, you know, frustrating Giannis, frustrating the bigs. I like what he's doing on both sides of the floor, and I knew he would contribute, but I didn't know he would mean this much to them defensively.
Blake is a classic example of a player, and Derrick Rose falls into this too. Of everybody wants to be a Hall of Famer or All-NBA or All-Star, but the biggest compliment you can pay a professional athlete is calling them a vet. Mm-hmm. And what happens with a guy like Blake Griffin? You go to the Clippers, you're the franchise player. You're on the marquee. They need you to bring it every night. But the more you play in the league and the older you get, that pecking order changes. So now when you start talking about the Nets, how many players of importance are you going to name before you get to Blake?
Four.
So now you appreciate him
mm-hmm.
as your fifth best player versus other teams that paid him to be their first, second, and third best player. And that's quite all right.
Sure.
Because he's getting it done on a championship caliber team.
And on defense, we have some news about LeBron James.
The King.
And next season, he wore number 23. And now he's going to change his jersey number back to number 6 with the Lakers. Why is he doing this?
Marketing and promotions. Today, we're going to be showing highlights on TV about LeBron James wearing number 6.
Mm-hmm.
He got bounced in the first round this
year. Yeah, we're not talking about LeBron.
And here's the other thing. When you get bounced in the first round wearing number 23, that's another reason to change your number.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when you're doing a movie, Space Jam, this offseason, Goons and Toons, he in movie mode.
Kids are excited for Space Jam.
He in movie mode.
My kids are excited for Space Jam.
He in movie mode.
Let me say this. Is when he wore 23, I thought he was kind of, sort of trying to invoke the spirit of like Michael Jordan, some of those great players that wore 23. But I know what's happening. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. Do you know what he's trying to do with this change? He's trying to invoke the spirit of Lance Stephenson, the last player to wear number 6 for the Lakers. My guy, Lance. He needs a little bit of that Lance
the
energy.
Grader.
I'm telling you, next year you'll see LeBron ready. James is be strumming the guitar after he hits threes. He's got that Lance energy. That big Lance energy is what he needs, and that is why he is making this switch to number 6. He'll never admit it, but I know that's the case.
And when LeBron James put down number 23, you know who's going to run and pick it up? Caruso.
The GOAT. That's what LeBron calls him. LeBron calls him the GOAT. Moving on. Looking at football, all eyes are on training camp
mm-hmm.
in Wisconsin. And the lack of Aaron Rodgers means Jordan Love is playing with the first team. And here's what he had to say about potentially playing week one.
100%. Obviously, this is a time where I'm getting a lot of extremely valuable reps that I might not – I've been getting in a normal circumstance. So, I'm going to take it day by day. And, that's what I'm here for. I was drafted here to play quarterback. So, I'll definitely be ready week one.
Jalen, he says he's ready to start week one. Will they need him to start?
We need to hit the brakes on something.
What's up?
The Jordan Love slander. There's been so many days that since he got drafted, while elevating Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love got slandered. And for those that haven't been paying attention to the NFL, a backup quarterback is really valuable.
Extremely valuable.
You ever heard of Jeff Hostetler?
Yep.
He won a Super Bowl with the Giants. You ever mm-hmm. heard of Nick Foles?
Yeah.
As a backup, he won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. So him getting these reps, even if Aaron Rodgers returns, puts him in position to be a better quality backup. And we're not going to analyze and overanalyze how he threw the first day, how he threw the second day. Like, we're not doing that. The bottom line is he got taken in the first round because he clearly got potential.
Mm-hmm.
Now that Aaron Rodgers isn't there, let's give him a chance to see if he can perform or not.
And they have an NFC championship team around him. They've been in the NFC championship 2 years. They've got everything that you need. They just need Jordan Love to perform if Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be there. Jalen Rose, last time Donovan Mitchell took the floor, he had 45
Spider-Man.
Points, and they need all 45 of them to beat the Clippers. What will happen in game two, we will tell you next. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Marvel Studios' Loki. Don't miss new episodes every Wednesday, only on Disney+.
Doubleheader on ESPN tonight starting at 7:30 with the Nets taking on the Bucks in game 3, and then at 10 p.m. it is the Clippers trying to even the series with the Utah Jazz. Doubleheader on ESPN. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here at Pier 17. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, Jokic is the MVP. We now know that that man, Rudy Gobert, is the Defensive Player of the Year. Ben Simmons came in second. It is his third career Defensive Player of the Year. However, he's going to have to show that defense tonight because it is game 2 between the Jazz and the Clippers. What do the Clippers need to do to even the series?
Well, it'd be nice if you could try to slow down Donovan Mitchell, but nobody in the playoffs can slow down Donovan Mitchell. He's proven that. They're going to need Paul George to play like an all-NBA performer. There are too many games in the playoffs in his career where he shoots less than 25%. In the last three or four games in this year's playoffs, he's been subpar. He got some numbers late in the fourth quarter last game, and he helped them get back into the game, and they had a chance to win it. But they're going to need him from beginning to end, and not just offensively. Whatever happened to, like, the Clippers letting us know that they're all NBA defenders locked down on the perimeter?
Remember late 2 in the morning when I found out that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are going to be on the same team?
With Patrick
Beverly. Oh, they're going to stop everybody. They're going to stop everybody. You're never going to be able to score on that team. And then Donovan Mitchell has 45.
Well, the biggest thing that the Clippers are trying to iron out is what to do at guard. See, I've been talking about this all year. And what does Donovan Mitchell play for the other team?
Guard.
Guard. See, in the last series, they went to man. They went to Kennard. They gave Rondo minutes. They're trying to figure out what to do at guard. They tried to get Patrick Beverley back in and got him 6 minutes in the previous game. And so while they're trying to figure it out, you know what Donovan Mitchell doing? Work. He doing work. And so if they get Conley back, now all of a sudden, you can use Mitchell on the ball. You can use Mitchell off the ball. But shout to Royce O'Neal, too. He's a terrific defender on the perimeter. Yep. And his ability to shot make now all of a sudden allows them to play a version of small ball alongside the stifle tower, Rudy Gobert.
And listen, Kawhi Leonard was fine in game one. But remember that Mavs series when Kawhi Leonard was like, I'm a former Finals
MVP.
Yeah,
he can't be fine.
I'm one of the best five players, two-way players in the entire league. He really put his stamp on that Mavs series in a way that he didn't in game one of this series. They're going to need Paul George and Kawhi Leonard to be the two that were on the phone with each other deciding we're going to team up and make a championship run.
And at 3 in the morning, when you saw that Paul George was going to the Clippers, you know what you didn't think? That the two series that the Clippers played, that each guard would be scoring 40 on them regularly.
That's a good point.
It ain't just like, oh, yeah, Donovan Mitchell doing it. Like, Luka just had 46 and 14 on them too. So this is a real thing that they're going to have to figure out. And lastly, the Jazz are a terrific three-point shooting team. Mm-hmm. So when the Clippers go back home, when the Clippers go back home, I think that they'll do a better job of defending the three-point line and their role players will play a lot better, but Utah's making that three ball at a historic clip.
Moving on, we have an update on a quarterback not named Aaron Rodgers. This time it is Deshaun Watson, and through his former teammate, Kareem Jackson, here's what Kareem said, Deshaun said the following, and I quote, I've been talking to Deshaun the last couple of weeks, man, and like, all he's been telling me is like, Jack, just tell him that's where I want to be. He's like, I want to be in Denver. Jalen, what do you make of his former teammate, Kareem Jackson, saying that he talks to Deshaun, and Deshaun says, you tell your front office, I want to be in Denver.
Now, you tell the front office, I want to be in Denver. You don't say tell the media.
Good point.
Right?
I don't think Kareem Jackson was supposed to tell the media.
I would have bet when Deshaun realized his name was trending, he texted his ex-teammate and was like, dawg.
Yeah.
Dawg, that was supposed to be off wax.
You're not helping me get there. If you want me to get there, don't do this.
Don't call a crib from the spot.
Exactly.
Right? Go tell the team. Don't tell the media. I need everybody to feel like they have a chance to get me if and when I get cleared from my charges. I don't want it to be just like, oh, I want to go to one team publicly.
No.
I'm telling that to 30 other people around the league, including you.
That doesn't help my leverage. And if you're the Texans, you're calling Deshaun and saying, what's going on with your man?
That's your man.
What's going on with your man on the podcast?
Yeah, man.
Well, obviously, if I'm the Broncos, I am very cautious about putting together a package for Deshaun Watson, given everything that's happening with him off the field. Coming up next, we have more information on another NFL quarterback not named Aaron Rodgers. This time it is that man, Dak Prescott. He feels good. He buried the ankle injury. He's been dancing. We'll explain. You're watching Jalen Jacoby.
Give the people what they want.
so much for watching Jalen and Jacoby on television. However, make sure you listen to the podcast. We always have exclusive content on the podcast every day where we talk about the things we can't talk about on television. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby, Jalen Rose, Dak Prescott. All eyes on him at minicamp. He says his ankle feels fine, and here is his evidence.
Put that right on the tombstone. Had a good Cinco de Mayo, was a little active, and at that time maybe did some little dance moves, and I felt like I'm ready to go. So that was the time that I said in my head, the injury's gone. So
did some dance moves on Cinco de Mayo, and in his head, the injury is gone.
In
what
his
does that
head,
tell you?
I'm rich. That's all that was. And this is where I knew his ankle was okay. And this is elite analysis that you're not going to get anywhere else.
Lead analysis?
Yes, is when he left Adidas to get a big deal with Brand Jordan.
Ooh!
That's when I knew his ankle was okay. Because you're not getting a new cleat slash shoe deal. If your ankle isn't okay, and he's the highest paid football player currently at Brand Jordan. So the ankle is okay.
I did find it interesting that someone with a foot or ankle injury did switch shoe brands. Elite analysis, Mr. Rose. You can always get elite analysis from us every day, ESPN, at 2 p.m. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is providing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. We can talk about anything we want, but we want to hear from you. Don't forget to call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail. Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, though?
A couple things.
Okay.
Number one. We all knew this was going to happen. Just like Terry Stotts, we knew that Nate Bjorkensen was going to lose his job, Indiana Pacers. And it's bad for one thing. I feel bad for him. I never want to see someone lose their job. But I spent a lot of time getting the right pronunciation of his name, and I feel like all that time was wasted. However, when you look at the current jobs that are available, head coaching spaces, and I'm not including the Hawks and Nate McMillan. Not doing that. He's going to keep that job. Celtics, Pacers, Magic, Blazers. Okay?
Okay.
What is the difference between those jobs? What seems most attractive to you?
I enjoy doing this show with you so very much, my brother. 10 years and running. And one of the things that people always acknowledge to me that I appreciate is that they hear things on our pod that they can now go use as currency amongst their family, friends, and coworkers. And be right most of the time with broken news. If you listen to this show, you're not surprised. You was not surprised when he lost his job.
Mm.
You are not surprised. You know what you looked at your friend and said? That's why I listen to Jalen and Jacoby. They told me this weeks ago. And each of those jobs are different. I'm glad you posed that question to me. I'll start with what I consider the most high profile job.
Please.
That's the Celtics. The Celtics is the most high-profile job. They have 17 championships. A lot of people are uncomfortable with a lot of the things Danny Ainge said, and then he kind of exited stage left. I know media members aren't talking about that much, but players in the league didn't like how he took shots at Steph, took shots at Curry, took shots basically. At black players having an opinion about their lives mattering. And when those interviews started to be unearthed, he exited stage left. And when he did so, people also got uncomfortable with Boston is because they elevated Brad Stevens after 8 years. He made the playoffs 7 times. They made the conference finals 3 times. He had a 55% win percentage. In Boston, that don't get it done.
Hmm.
In Boston, that normally gets the coach fired. Not elevated to president.
I think they looked at him and they're like, well, we just signed an extension with him. We have to pay him, so we might as well put him somewhere, if not in the head coaching position.
We're not going to justify it. That's the equivalent of Terry Stotts getting fired, who I think did just as good or not of a better job in Portland. But the Blazers are not now hiring him to be in the front office. That was bogus. And now what's going to happen? Let me tell you exactly what's going to happen. They're going to hire a former player that's black.
Okay.
Because they understand what I just said. And they understand that they want to attract free agents. And they want to keep their own players in their locker room happy. And so when that happens, you're going to be like, I heard that before. Where did I hear that before? When the assistant from the Mavs gets the job, or Darvin Ham gets the job, or Chauncey Billups gets the job. How about, like, when we're discussing these former players and they're about to have a head coaching job, and I was on with Rich Eisen yesterday, and I had to say this to him. So many times, like when Juwan was about to be the head coach, everybody talked about his lack of experience. I gotta tell everybody something. When you're a player, that's the most experience you can get.
Familiar with the ins and outs of the NBA yeah, life.
Yeah. And there isn't any more experience than being an actual player. You go up to Jay-Z right now and you ask him, can an artist be considered the GOAT that don't write their own rhymes? See what he says. He'd be like, nah. Can't be the GOAT if you don't write your own rhymes. And
but I'm going to interject here. You make a good point with Jay-Z, because if you ask Jay-Z, like, how does your experience as an artist help you to become an executive? And he'll say he knows the ins and outs because he's been on both sides of the bargaining table and he knows how the whole thing works.
Here comes the boom. Thank you for that intellect. And so now in Boston, the expectation is championship, but the roster is playoffs. You're hamstrung with Kemba Walker's contract.
He wants to go, apparently.
Well, they want him to go. I mean, so it ain't like
$36 million.
So here's how dominoes go fast. You have Isaiah Thomas as an asset, averaging 30 points. You trade him hurt, and you fleece the Cavs.
Oh yeah.
So by the way, see, that was the win, right? They fleeced the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
You get Kyrie. So now instead of you having a big three with Tatum, Brown, and Kyrie, he's with the Nets. That's a double negative. Not only do you not have him, he's also playing on a team in your conference. And so when you lose Kyrie, you're now reaching. And they reach for Kemba. He was third team all NBA.
He looked great when they acquired him.
He has some injury history, but nothing major. But he don't fit with Brown and Tatum, along with being injured, because Kemba needs the ball to be effective. So does Brown and Tatum. And so they're hamstrung with his deal. They will find a way to move it, though. Like, on paper, you look at, like, how are they going to trade Kemba Walker? Oh, my God, he paid $30 million. They'll find a way to move. Like, there are ways to do this around the league.
There's 1 year left on it, and he's got a player option, which he will likely exercise. But that's only 2 years. You'll get a team that will say, you know what, in a year and a half, he'll be signing a contract that we can move.
And I want to interject another name, Willie Green. Like, he's been an assistant with the Golden State Warriors. Got championships, as a matter of fact. He, when Monty Williams got the job, got elevated. And now, all of a sudden, look at the development of their young players. Like, Bridges is balling. Aiden is balling. Cam Jordan is balling. I know the world wants to give Chris Paul all of the credit.
Yeah, Chris, they act like
but
Chris Paul's
a head
coach.
But he ain't doing drills with them. I hate to tell y'all. He like, yo, catch the ball, finish the ball, and take care of your mama. That's what he tell them. Okay? He like that. That's their commentary. And so the Boston job is the most high profile, and it's gonna be the toughest to meet expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, Boston is expected to pay top dollar for their coach. See, they're not the Lions. I remember when the Lions was looking for a coach, and people was like, "Well, they should get Airbnb." I'm like, "You must not be paying attention. They're not going to pay a coach. They'll get Dan Campbell and pay him by the hour, huh?" You didn't see his contract at the bottom of the ticker, did you?
No.
You saw Matt Rhule's, but you ain't see Dan Campbell's.
Mm-mm.
When the Celtics get a coach, you're going to see how much they're getting paid at the bottom of the ticker. It's got to be a high-profile guy. And/or somebody that's going to get equity in that locker room, and I named a lot of the guys that I think are fit. So that's one.
Jalen, there's some rumors that Mike D'Antoni is interested in the Blazers job.
Mike D'Antoni is an assistant coach with the Nets. And I got a news flash for all media members. Every assistant coach is interested in a head coaching job.
Except for Jason Kidd, apparently. Apparently, Jason Kidd's not with the Blazers.
That's because I believe Dame said, I can't guarantee you I'm going to be here to play this deal out.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that works.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike D'Antoni, yeah, he's interested in Portland. You know what else he's interested in? Orlando. Portland.
Indiana. Celtics.
Okay. All they got to do is come with the checkbook. He'll be there. And I also want to point this out because I'm friends with a lot of coaches. Rick Carlisle is the president of the Coaches Association. And y'all are going to hear these rumblings because they're going to start to happen. So, like, as these coaching searches take place, make sure that we're paying attention to the retreads. So I'm not mad at Tibbs getting a new opportunity and making the most of it. I voted him second coach of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But he flamed out in Minnesota. They gave him $50 million.
Didn't end great in Chicago either.
He had Carl Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, and Wiggins, and was getting $50 million.
To be GM and head coach.
Correct. But you know what happened when he got let go? He got another chance. Stan Van Gundy. I love him a lot. Supporter of JRLA. He got another chance. He flamed out at his last spot. He flamed out with my Pistons. We drafted Luke Kennard over Devin Booker.
Didn't end great in Orlando either.
When you're looking at all of these Pistons around the league, half of them were his moves. He got another chance. People now are getting frustrated within the NBA circles that Mark Jackson just flat out not even getting a chance. Like, his name isn't even being mentioned. Like, that's really disturbing. He's had just as much success as the guys that I mentioned. He was telling us that they were the greatest shooting backcourt when he was coaching them. Just think about that. People thought it was Cap. That's how long ago it was. People thought when he said Steph and Clay were the best shooting backcourt that it was Cap. I remember being around the Warriors when Mark was coaching them, and I'm going to get to the rankings of those other teams next. Draymond Green was not even playing. Now absorb this game. Draymond Green was getting DMPs. He was a captain. Just think about what Mark did. That's unheard of. That's a former player. Do you know, the respect that you have to garner from your roster and your coaching staff and probably how the organization going to be looking at you crazy when a guy that's getting DMPs is your captain. Draymond Green played over David Lee and people was mad. Remember those days?
Mm-hmm.
You old enough to remember that? People was mad. How could you play Draymond Green over David Lee? The organization was mad too. And frankly, they were also mad that he didn't commit to living in the Bay Area. Why am I going to leave my family and my home that I've built for the last 20 years in Los Angeles, sell it, and go buy a house in the Bay Area? We only got 1 year left on my contract, and I'm one of the lowest paid coaches in the league. That ain't smart.
No.
That ain't smart.
Yeah, you signed me to a 10-year deal. I'll build my own house.
Right. Well, Mark Jackson was making less than Steve Kerr when he got the job. Than Derek Fisher when he got the Knicks job. Derek Fisher got hired and fired and made more money than Mark Jackson. And so that's going to start rumbling. The second ranking I want to give to the jobs, it may surprise a lot of people. The second job to me that's the most attractive, I say Celtics won because of the profile of the job. I want the big stage. I want to coach under the banners, but that's just me, right? The second thing is the Pacers. Because their organization and their fan base doesn't have a championship or bust expectation. You know why? They ain't have won a championship.
Won a championship. Well, I would say the Pacers is the most interesting to me because, like the Hawks, and Bogdanovich did a lot of this, I feel like they have a roster that can be successful, and a coaching change could be what gets them there. And people don't look at the Pacers and say, we need to host game one of the first round.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And so, and if you look within their roster, when the Pacers are operating on all cylinders, that's a top five team in the East.
They had a lot of injury problems with Brogdon and Turner. Like, they were hobbled.
Our guy, Miles Turner, didn't finish basically the rest of the second half of the year. And he's their defensive anchor. Sabonis improved. He got better.
Mm-hmm.
He improved as a passer. All-star. He improved as a scorer. Caris LeVert had an issue from the trade. What do you have?
Did you get Brogdon, LeVert, Sabonis, Turner,
like TJ?
That's something.
Right. So I like the Pacers' job a lot. And you know who I like it a lot for? Give Mark Jackson that job.
Wait, didn't he play the Pacers?
I would know that because
you also were playing.
I was there.
The Pacers.
Mark Jackson should get the Pacers' job. Mark Jackson should get that job. And by the way, I don't try to force like square piece, round peg, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is actually a great look for him. Like, Juwan going to Michigan, I said, that's like a great look for him, you know? The third ranking I have, the Magic.
Over the Blazers. Over coaching Dame Lillard.
The reasons why I have the Magic third is I once met a handsome gentleman named David Jacoby. He taught me to keep expectations low.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't be lower than if you're coaching the Magic.
And you heard all of those cliches about never outshine the master, never replace somebody that's an all-time great. I just asked you what the Pacers' championship expectations were. What are the Magic's expectations at all?
I don't even know if they're trying to win. You know what people forget? Frank Vogel coached the Magic. Like, people forget that. Frank Vogel coached the Magic, and now he's coaching the Lakers.
But that goes to my point about white coaches getting the opportunity to be retreads and black coaches don't. That's the elephant in the room. I know Frank Vogel, just so you guys know. I know Brad Stevens, just so you guys know. So when I speak into these microphones, these are like personal relationships, but I owe the public my honesty every time I do this job. So imagine when I can look down at my phone and text Brad Stevens after I just got finished saying that I don't think he deserved that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the credibility that comes with the game. You want your takes to age well. The Magic is the third most attractive job because they have no expectations.
Just develop young players is all.
They traded Nurkic.
Yep.
They traded Fournier. They traded Aaron Gordon. No expectations.
They used to lose in the first round every single year. They used to be the 8 seed losing the first round every single year. Now they're like, we're not even going to want the 8 seed.
This is your chance to be Coach B of the Hornets. This is your chance to watch them draft Miles Bridges. Watch them draft Melo Ball. See if they can add vets and free agent. You have more autonomy to help them build the team because they have to build a team based on some of your philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I have Portland last, because I don't believe Dame's going to complete his contract there.
That's interesting.
That's the only reason why I have him last.
I felt like 4 months ago you were celebrating Dame's commitment to Portland. I feel like 4 months ago you were talking about he's gonna grow old, he's gonna move to Portland, then when he's done, he's gonna, you know, go to the games, and he's gonna be
like Karl Malone.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's where it was 3 or 4 months ago. Now there's just one Nipsey Hussle quote, and all that's changed.
And by the way, for those that pay attention to what I'm putting down, I use Karl Malone as an example instead of Dirk on purpose. Because Dirk never left. I now believe
that Dame won't play his entire career with the Blazers.
I think that's fair. If I was Dame, I would not either. I would not either.
And you know, for me to, you know,
I for do.
Me to say that this, here.
This story has changed. This story has changed. In the last 6 years, it's always been.
Let's go to voicemail.
It's always been. This story has changed. Oh, you don't want to talk about it? Oh, you don't want to talk about it? I know you got Dame on text. He's been on the show a couple times. Okay, let's go to voicemails. Call 985-80-JALEN. We want to hear from you.
They got work to do to keep homie happy.
Again, 985-80-JALEN. We want to hear from you. Our best content always comes from you.
He'll look good in a Pistons
uniform.
We'll
talk about... No, he would not. We'll talk about...
You need Dame in Detroit. You know how the Bay and the D get down? Uh-huh. He from Oakland, too. Uh-huh. He'll love Detroit.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's talk about. Let's just listen.
They're all gonna laugh at
me. Let's listen to somebody else's voice. Let's listen to somebody else's voice aside from Jalen's voicemail.
I got a question. I need some games. Jalen and Jacoby, and shout out Reds. How do I smell? And I want to enter this world of cologne and perfume as a young adult. I was at a fancy mall. My friend got some, bought some nice stuff. I got some. And whatever. How much do I put on? Is it a little into the air and I walk under it? Or am I like doing the one on the wrist and then slap on my neck really quick? Or like, how am I putting cologne on? What sense am I looking for? I want to know. And also, I feel like I'm doing this more for me than how other people are going to smell me, right? Like, it's something I want to smell. But as I said, I'm taking out a ton on myself now. I feel like I put too much on. All right. Peace and love. Thank you so much.
Oh, have I got an answer for
you? Got you.
A couple things. Number one, Jalen Rose always has cologne in his backpack.
Sure do.
Always.
Including right now.
And then sometimes when I know I'm funky, I don't want to ask Jalen for his cologne because I don't want to share the same scent. So I just stay funky. And you know I love to be funky. But my birthday.
You don't love it. You just don't care.
And my wife don't listen to the pod so I can say this. My wife is amazing.
She the best.
Amazing director, amazing mom, amazing supporter, leader. Amazing friend, amazing sister, amazing daughter. But she is not a good present buyer. One time she bought me, this is early in our relationship, she bought me Tidy Whiteys and a VHS tape of porn. I was like, what? Oh, like vintage porn. It's like Vincent Del Rio or something. And a pack of three Tidy Whiteys. I was like, I don't even know.
Fruit of a Loom?
Yeah, like some of those. But however, she got me a great present this year. It was a cologne, a type of cologne that you've smelled a lot that smells like no other cologne, but you love it. It's called Oud. Say it with me, Jalen.
Oud.
Oud. Get yourself some Oud, caller. You will smell like no one else.
I've seen that bottle. It's like a red bottle.
No, it's not. Oud is the type of cologne. The brand I got is Black Afghano. When I saw it, I was like, Jalen, this looks like cologne for black people.
I was like,
this is Black Afghano. Yeah. Like, this is probably for black people, but whatever. Smells good. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll take it. And
cologne has some good stand-up jokes that I can't use on this show.
The first time I used it, I was like, I've smelled this scent before. And she's like, it's Oud. I think it's like, I might be wrong about this, but I feel like it's a Middle Eastern Arabic type of cologne. Mm-hmm. And it is fantastic. My man, get yourself some Oud. Get yourself some Oud. Black Afghano is one brand. And that way you will have a distinct scent. Because when I put it on, I was like, oh, there's certain people in my life. When I hug them, I smell this. And now I am one of those people to the rest of the world. And your second question, people say spray and walk into it. That don't work. That don't work. Just go OD with it. I go OD with the cologne because it wears off after like 5 minutes. So I'm spraying both sides of my neck, one of my wrists, and rubbing my wrists together. That's my technique. Jalen Rose, what's your technique?
Thank you for calling. We appreciate the support. Make sure you DVR the show. Make sure you're watching it each day. I'm ordering some new hoodies. I got to make sure I get them out to the people. I love to spray the cologne in the air as mist so it doesn't get all over my clothes and stain. But Jacoby, the reason why I don't have to put on too much is because I keep it with me and I could just put more on the day.
Reapply, reapplication. Okay, see, I don't carry a backpack, so I'm not putting cologne in my, I'm not putting the black I've got on in my pocket.
And here's when I learned that I needed to always carry a backpack because I don't want to carry a man purse.
I've seen you borderline that you take like a fanny pack and put it around your shoulder.
Yeah,
I've seen
that correct. Move. Yes, yes.
Yeah, you're always struggling with this.
Yeah, I always struggle with this.
You're always struggling with this
one. And the backpack just ended up being my landing spot.
Good.
Because I could put more stuff in it. You could put documents in it. You could put charts. Like stuff. I got earbuds. I got a charger. I got a phone.
Two phones.
I got an iPhone. Yeah. I got an iPad. Like, it's just stuff that I need to be in transit. The cologne I'm rocking right now is Creed.
Hello, Creed.
And if you want something that's probably like a little more cost effective, sneak you a little Calvin Klein. Okay. Little Calvin
Ooh.
Klein.
Ood. Everyone listening, not just call it Ood. I will not steer you wrong with the Ood.
And lastly, when you go buy cologne, make sure you take all of the samples that they give you. Those last for a long time. Take the samples that they give you. And make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend to download our podcast. Make sure you watch us every day at 2 p.m. We are Jalen and Jacoby.